This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
This has been kind of an unusual start to the Paracast. First, I started getting a weird problem with Skype. Now, Skype is weird already, not because it's a Microsoft product. It's weird because it has strange bugs. So, for example, this time I was getting a repeated beep. And suddenly the entire system started picking up that sound and had to restart. That's the first thing right there. So beyond that, we have a rare phenomenon for this time of year in Arizona, at least the Phoenix area, heavy rain. So right now as we do this recording, on a Thursday, it's 46 degrees and raining in Arizona, in Phoenix area. What kind of weather are you getting there in Charlottesville, Michael Grosso?
Yes, well, it's actually warming up after a snowstorm yesterday. So all the snow outside is melting like mad, and it's supposed to go up to the 60s. That's how it is here in Charlottesville.
Randall?
Oh, up here in Calgary? Well, it's winter still, so any precipitation that we're getting here is in crystal form still at this point. A little bit warmer than it was last week. Yeah, we had a bit of a cold snap. So, minus 20 Celsius type of thing, between minus 20 and minus 30. So there's a lot of having to warm up the car and contribute to global warming before getting out of the driveway for me.
To make things interesting, I heard that it's actually snowing in Las Vegas.
Sounds like fun.
Oh, heavens, you know. So everybody's going to be on the casinos then. Anyway. We're going to continue with real stuff now instead of weather. Although, obviously, we've had debates in our forums about global warming. Not anymore. I think people have gone straight on it. Michael Grosso, tell our listeners, now that you've joined us on the Paracast, what got you interested in the strange, the unknown?
As many people who get into this field, experiences, which go back to my childhood, but not constantly. Every once in a while, sporadically is the correct word. Something happened and continue right up until now. For example, I have had precognitive experiences. I've been attacked by a ghost in a haunted house. I have had weird PK experiences, some of which I don't even like to talk about online or publicly because they do sound a bit weird. I connected with a girlfriend of mine whom I met in London, and we were longing to meet again, which we eventually did, and separated by 3,000 miles. One morning, she woke up with me in bed with her. Okay, that sounds totally weird, but it's true. It didn't last very long. I was not conscious of it, but I was thinking of her intensely at that time because she wrote me a frantic letter. This was before email and all. This was many years ago when I was a young student. So I've had a lot of psychic experiences, number one. Number two, I'm a trained philosopher, interested in philosophy of mind. That's one of the classic issues in philosophy. And I've always found myself outside the mainstream. When I was at Columbia in the 1970s, I was surrounded by materialists. And when I told them that I had psychic experiences, they kept saying, it's impossible. And I said, I didn't say it was impossible. I said, it's a fact. So anyway, that's roughly how I got into this, partly for professional reasons and partly just simply because I've had so many experiences. I have to take other people's stories seriously. So that's it in a nutshell.
Do you think, Michael, that you were singled out to have so many experiences? Because I can tell you, I've had probably none. Maybe one or two things that were strange, but don't seem to have anything odd about them.
Actually, I have been thinking about that lately. I've written one book about some of my psychic experiences. My feeling is, just a feeling, I can't prove this, is that I have been given just enough information to whet my appetite to know that these phenomena are real and to go and to investigate them. So I don't use them in any practical way. I don't even want to. I just take them as they come, as signs that there's more to understand about what it is to be a human being. And that kind of fits for a person who chose philosophy as his main interest. And I used to be a teacher. I'm retired and I don't do it anymore. I just write stuff and continue to have strange experiences. So that's pretty much the background, as I say, of my interest in this subject. And it's getting, you know, to the point where I really feel we're at a stage in our history where we need to change our worldview, become a little more sensitive to other human beings. So I think that this area, mind expansion, is not only a philosophical curiosity, but a matter of vital importance for, I don't know, the life of the planet in the future, because as things are going, it doesn't seem like we're running into major problems. You know, you're aware of all this. So I believe that the role of the mind is crucial in the evolution of human reality. And given the fact that we're on the threshold of, within a dozen years, a global crisis of unprecedented dimensions, somehow I feel that there's a connection with expanding our consciousness in order to forestall what looks like coming cataclysm for the human race at large. I don't know. Does that sound grandiose? That's my point of view.
Well, it's a view of Armageddon, I guess, in a sense. But it's not uncommon, Michael, among people who've had unusual experiences, especially those who claim to be channeling higher beings or those who claim to have met up with ET.
I have no sense of being chosen and being in touch, deliberately singled out as some kind of a messenger. On the other hand, I have a slight change of that point of view lately. One of the most interesting experiences I ever had was in 1971. I had just gotten my PhD in philosophy from Columbia University. And on April 23rd, that night at 11 o'clock, I was with my girlfriend. And I lived in Greenwich Village. And we were just sort of lying around, hanging around. It was her birthday. We had gone out for dinner. I lived in the village, as I say, top floor, sixth floor. I look out the window, and I noticed suddenly a cluster of brilliant light dancing around in the sky in rhythm with a piece of music that I was listening to at that moment, that we were listening to, John Coltrane's The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's a very difficult piece of music to listen to, incidentally. So we were totally absorbed in it, listening, and I see these lights dancing around in the sky. I said, Jane, come over here. Look out the window. She opens the window, and for sure she sees the same thing. In about 30 seconds after that, the lights display themselves in this sort of dance, almost in tune with the music. The lights then shoot over to the dome of the church of Our Lady of Pompeii. This is in Greenwich Village, okay? And the lights beam at us, let us know that we're listening to the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. So it shoots over to this Catholic church, beams at us, and then in a zipping, instantaneous, zigzag motion, flies away and disappears over the Empire State Building. We're completely sort of shocked and amazed, and we went up the roof because we're on the top floor. I don't know what made me do it, because on top of the roof was a third person who also witnessed this phenomenon. His name was Louis, and the funny thing was I had just turned him on to John Coltrane. So there were three people tuned in to John Coltrane's music, and out of the blue comes this signal from the unknown, from the heavens, and that makes a definite connection between what we were listening to by shooting over to the dome of the church.
Michael Grosso, joining us with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Learn how to get sober after we share these stories.
I was 35 with two beautiful children when my life and addiction started to spiral out of control. After my divorce, I went into a depression cycle and started drinking more often and using prescription drugs. After my second DWI and arrest, my ex-husband threatened to take our children away from me.
I was 17 when I became addicted to heroin and meth. I thought I could quit on my own, but I couldn't. It hit me when I was arrested.
Get sober now. Your private insurance may cover costs, and we'll get you here. It's simple. Just call Elite Rehab Placement right now, please. Don't wait. Your life matters to us.
800-213-9264, 800-213-9264, 800-213-9264. Call right now before it's too late. 800-213-9264.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGDirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.
Many people believe they don't control their own destiny. Let them continue just getting by while you make the choice to do something about your future. Imagine working from home, earning the income you deserve. Just visit startlivingyoung.com and click on the Be Your Own Boss tab. Discover Juness, a state-of-the-art global health company with over $1 billion a year in sales. They'll provide all the tools you need to succeed. Visit startlivingyoung.com today and click on the Be Your Own Boss tab. Your destiny awaits at startlivingyoung.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So, Michael, I had to stop you within your discussion there because obviously we had to do a piece of business. Would you go on, please?
Yeah, well, that's it. So that's the only time that I felt there was some kind of, I mean, I couldn't make sense of, it was not like so many UFO sightings that were in person. We know some of them are close encounters of the various levels. I don't know how to describe this experience, but I felt that whatever was out there, an impossible thing that we were witnessing, knew what we were listening to, the music. Two reasons. It seemed to be dancing in rhythm. And by the way, no living creature could survive inside. I can't, it was just too fast. So some kind of a light show projected from God knows where. So that's the first part. And the second connection that implied knowing what we were doing inside our apartment was the fact that it went over and hovered over this church, Catholic Church, you know, connection, Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. So I have never been able to resolve that mystery. And since then, of course, I've learned about a lot about UFOs and a lot about the paranormal. So that's one of the...
Let's continue where we left off there.
Yeah, well, I was just trying to explain that UFO sighting in 1971 was the one case where I thought there may have been some interaction with an otherworldly entity.
That's really interesting because it's not the first type of experience we've heard about. And it's very reminiscent of the one that I had back in the 70s as well. Three of us saw an orb of light across the lake do much what you're describing. And we happened to be listening to Led Zeppelin too, instead of John Coltrane. But what do you think that an experience like that means? If you are going to put it all together and try to be analytical about it, what does it suggest to you about the nature of the phenomena?
The question is interesting because I'm writing a paper now attempting to explore the connections between the paranormal and the so-called UFO phenomenon. What I'm trying to understand is that I believe there's another dimension of reality, mental, psychic, spiritual, whatever you want to call it. The world is totally familiar with this through religion, through shamanism, through the world, the experience of the world suggests that there's another world, that there's another dimension of reality. And I think that the experiences that people have, all kinds, I couldn't even begin to start listing all the different types of phenomena, even within the realm of ufology, there's an incredible variety. There are all kinds of visionary experiences, all kinds of telepathic experiences. I feel that we are interacting with another dimension of reality. And this other dimension is also the seat of those who apparently have survived death. I've had experiences that strongly suggest that we do survive bodily death. And I realize that this is completely at odds with the mainstream scientific view, but it's not at odds with the human experience, nor is it at odds with the philosophies and religious systems that have evolved in the history of the human race. So that's the interesting challenge. So either I and countless others are totally deluded, or science has to wake up and start to incorporate the totality of reality and not just focus on one aspect, the physical, which can more easily controlled and understood than the psychic and the spiritual. Anyway, that's how I would respond to your question.
There's some rather complex concepts in there that not everyone is familiar with, and even the best scholars still wrestle with.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Maybe it would help to try to clarify some of those just at the outset. So when you talk about reality and dimensions, what is it that you're actually referring to?
I'm referring to the mind. We have minds, right? We all have minds, but they're not like our physical body. As a matter of fact, it's understood and agreed by mainstream neuroscientists that They cannot reduce or explain consciousness, the mental world, in terms of the brain, in terms of anything physical. There are correlations between mental events and brain events. We know that. But we do not and cannot derive or explain consciousness as being produced by the brain. So that is led many individuals, myself included, to grant that our mental life is part of a reality that is distinct from the physical, but it operates in different ways. You can't measure, you can't weigh the mind, you can weigh your body, you can weigh your brain, but the mental world is only visible to the mental apparatus, the senses, the imagination, the will, the memory, our intentions. These are all immediately available to us and ready to be used and explored, but they're not physical.
Okay, so this sounds to me to make it, when we, by the way, we have a fairly extensive thread on this in our forums, two of them actually, and we've been discussing this for quite some time. So for me, that whole issue seems to boil down to the idea of subjectivity versus objectivity.
Okay. Yeah.
So, so when we talk about different realities, then we have the, what we commonly think of as the material world, things made out of physical elements that are identifiable, weighable, measurable, and so on. And then we have our subjective experiences of the world, which take place in our minds. So we have the classic material versus mind duality problem to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So we're on the right track there then, right?
There's a lot more to come. We'll be continuing with Michael Grosso right here. So stay tuned with us in our next segment of the show. I want to mention that those threads on our forums, that's consciousness and the paranormal, right, Randall?
Right. We have science, philosophy, and the unexplained. And then we have consciousness and the paranormal, two different threads. Very similar in nature, but very extensive, and some pretty interesting stuff in there.
We're joined by Michael Grosso. Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@GCNLive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@GCNLive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at readytoeatbacon.com. Readytoeatbacon.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Attorney Michael Avenatti says it's outrageous that singer R. Kelly's attorney claims that four accusers are lying about them being sexually abused. Avenatti represents two of Kelly's alleged victims and has given prosecutors new video evidence that shows Kelly having sex with an underage girl. The charges involve multiple forced sex acts. Three of the four women were underage teenagers when the alleged abuse happened.
Between May 1st, 2009 and January 31st, 2010,
The victim had vaginal and oral sex with Robert Kelly multiple times. At times, Robert Kelly would spit on her, slap her in the face, and choke her.
Kelly, who is 52 years old, turned him into police on Friday night. His bail has been set at $1 million. You're listening to USA Radio News.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-561-5716. That's 800-561-5716. Again, 800-561-5716.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. ParanormalDate.com. And use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We had a break there before Michael got a chance to answer Randall's comment. Would you go ahead, please?
Absolutely. That is another way of characterizing the amphibious nature of our human reality, subjective and objective, mental and physical, inward and outward, and so forth. Yes. Agreed.
Right. And so I don't think there's any denying that people have experiences. However, can we prove that to another person? This is the classical problem. If we were to try to say, okay, Michael, can you prove you're self-aware?
Well,
we assume other people are.
Right.
Well, because we have experiences of the world, but we don't know that anyone else is really.
Right. Just now I'm answering your question. That implies I understood what you said, and I'm trying to reply. Doesn't that suggest to you that I'm a conscious being? I'm not some kind of a robot that's been designed to sound intelligent?
Yeah, this gets really interesting because, and we left off with some of this kind of discussion in our last show, actually, where perhaps getting back to your sighting and aliens, that maybe they don't have the same kind of experience of the world that we do, the thing that we would call consciousness, our experience of the world. But that doesn't mean they can't be highly intelligent. It's possible, for example, for something like a Turing machine to perfectly emulate another human being and intelligently come up with conversation, discourse, art, music, all of that without having any experience of the world, but just the workings of, for lack of a better term, like a clockwork orange, a bunch of switches and circuits that just simply produce an output that mimics human behavior, but doesn't have an experience of the world.
Hmm. Yes, absolutely. But the point is that these machines were programmed and designed and invented and made to produce that performance by conscious beings. And that's the only response to that. Of course, it is conceivable that in the future we'll be able to design robots that are so lifelike and that would be able to behave and respond in ways that seem perfectly normal and human, but they would simply be physical robots with no inner life going on.
Yeah, and to me, I think that's the big danger of artificial intelligence is in assuming that we could download our consciousness into a machine and still have an experience of the world. It may be the case, and I think that the brain here is maybe more important than what some of the idealists, which is sort of the, in philosophy, the alternative to materialism, would have us believe. And that is that all of the evidence seems to indicate that the causal mechanism behind the development or the emergence of consciousness is our brain. Most philosophers, even ones that are highly idealistic, tend to have to agree that there's no instances that we know of where somebody has had an experience who is dead. What I'm saying here is that the brain is a specific kind of a material thing, and a computer chip is another completely different kind of a material thing. And I don't think that it's safe to presume that one can produce consciousness and is intelligent, and the other one is intelligent, therefore it can produce consciousness. They're made completely differently, and maybe the idea that downloading our consciousness into a chip just can't work because chips don't have the same kind of functioning as a brain does to result in the emergence of consciousness, if you believe that consciousness is an emergent phenomena. So where are you kind of on that whole?
I follow you, what you're saying. Now, I don't believe that consciousness emerges from the brain. I don't know why or how, but the two are connected. I mean, William James, in 1898, in his attempt to make sense out of survival evidence, realized that if we assume that our consciousness is a byproduct of our brains, it's not very likely to survive the death of the brain. That's sort of obvious, right? But we are not obliged to assume that consciousness is derived from the brain. We're only obliged to assume that it has a relationship to the brain. And that relationship may be one of simply using the brain to fully and adequately express itself. And he points out that we can assume that consciousness pre-exists the brain. And once we make that assumption, the idea of surviving the death of the brain is more plausible. But none of this conversation would make any sense or be even useful or necessary if there weren't actual evidences that some people's minds do in fact survive the death of their bodies. So that's a whole different question, the evidence for life after death. But that evidence is what prompts some people, prompted William James and prompts me, to make the assumption that consciousness is an independent reality and that it can survive the death of the brain.
Isn't that kind of making a bit of a leap, though? I mean, you talk about evidence, but all the evidence that we have to that effect comes from people with functioning brains. I cannot think of a single instance where the evidence doesn't involve someone with a functioning brain, from NDEs to ghost experiences to whatever it happens to be. It always happens to someone and is relayed by someone with a functioning brain.
Well, take the NDE as an example. If you read some of the literature on this, you discover that people who have cardiac arrests, the oxygen immediately, the brain is instantly and totally deprived of oxygen. And there ought not to be any consciousness at all. As it turns out, the individuals who have near-death experiences and who have cardiac arrest ought not to have any consciousness, any conscious experience at all. But in fact, they not only have conscious experiences, and sometimes out-of-body experiences that they can verify independently. But they have experiences that are the most profound, the most beautiful, the most transformative, and the most mysterious experiences of their entire lives. And their brains are not functioning. And this oxygen-deprived state of the brain is simply not conceivable. Now, the mainstream reductionists and neuroscientists that want to believe this, they ignore this fact. So I don't think that this brain talk in any way gets in the way of the evidence for non-brain-mediated experiences. Suppose we have a telepathic experience, and I'm able to, so to speak, read your mind without any physical incoming stimuli. Well, that suggests a mental operation of gaining knowledge about the external world that operates independently of my brain. So the whole field of ESP and psychokinesis points in the direction of the independent causal power of the human mind.
I think we're missing a bit of a link there, though. In our discussions about this, one of the things that, and of course we've all, at least those in this discussion, have definitely looked into the NDEs and such. But when let's take the example of telepathy, for example. And I'm not trying to have a debate that contradicts or, and I'm not out to disprove necessarily any of these ideas. Probably like yourself, I'm trying to get to the truth of things and to better figure out what's really going on.
Let's do our break here and we'll go on. Figuring out consciousness, the paranormal and more. Michael Randall and Gene, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Childhood is full of wonder, and we get the chance to relive it with our grandchildren every day. But imagine missing special moments with a grandchild or seeing them through cloudy vision. The Foundation Fighting Blindness can help by providing valuable information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Age-related macular degeneration is the leading cause of vision loss in people 55 and older, but it doesn't have to be. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is driving research and saving sight by providing information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Don't miss a moment of your grandchildren's youthful wonder because of poor vision. Learn more about vision-saving preventions and treatments. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS or free packet on reversing or managing AMD. Or go to the website fightblindness.org where you can find so much helpful information. Call 1-800-BLINDNESS today. That number again is 1-800-BLINDNESS or fightblindness.org.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hi, this is nuclear physicist lecturer Stanton Friedman. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Michael Grosso making his first appearance on the Paracast with Gene and Randall. Randall was about to insert an observation. Go ahead, please.
Right. When we were talking about the idea of, let's say, telepathy, the idea that there's something going on separate from the brain because it's associated with our mind is a bit like the idea that there's something going on independent of two transceivers that are sending signals back and forth to one another. Certainly, the signal as it's traveling from one receiver to another is independent of both receivers, and yet there is a signal that is taking place that comes from each of the two receivers, which are very material. It's sort of like saying the light from the light bulb.
The signal is material, too.
Exactly. You see, this gets us into the whole idea, well, what do we mean by materialism? There's physicalism and there's materialism. There's different levels of it, different ways that different philosophers look at it. So it's not just necessarily a one thing or the other. So what we may be dealing with in cases of telepathy, one could postulate, is that, yes, we have brains that cause the emergence of consciousness, and that together they work as some sort of a transceiver that in certain cases people can be able to pick up the transmissions from another person's mind. But that doesn't mean that it's not all connected. In other words, it doesn't have to be a this or that type of thing. We do have brains. That much is proven. We do have minds. I think it's safe to take that for granted with most people. So it's not like, well, it's either mind or matter. Don't you think it's possible to have both and that there could be a causal relationship between the two?
Well, there obviously are causal relationships between our mental life and our brain life. But at the same time, when I reflect on my mental life, my thoughts, my dreams, my intentions, I'm not seeing, and there's no physicality involved. Let's say take a dream as an interesting form of a mental life. There you have a full blown sensory drama taking place in an interesting dream. There are colors, there are forms, sometimes, you know, people that you actually believe are real dream or seem real. But that entire experience is non-physical. If someone had a device scanning the brain, and when we do this, of course, and then scan the brain all the time, you're not going to see what's going on in that dream. It's not visible.
Well, of course, but what we're getting into sort of what Searle, right. you know who Searle is, philosopher, right? He describes this problem in linguistic terms, in that, yes, we're talking about two different kinds of things that are part of one particular aspect of human existence. Of course, they're going to be different. So there's nothing particularly remarkable about that. It's just simply the way that things are, like a light bulb produces light. I think that's a pretty good analogy in that here we have a material thing, say a light bulb. When it's switched on, it produces light. The light emanates from the light bulb. We often talk about our spirit, our spirituality, as being like the light that comes from us. And it is separate from the light bulb. It travels out and exists independently of the light bulb. And yet when you switch that light bulb off, it ends. And so I don't see why it's safe to presume that simply because we switched the light bulb off, that there should still be some continuous existence of a dynamic thing like a personality out there. This is a big problem, right?
No, I'm not sure what the problem, how you just described that as a problem. I'm not sure what you're driving at here in this particular conversation. Are you basically defending materialism, physicalism? That's what it sounds like.
Well, what I'm saying is that...
...on to talk about the paranormal if we're just focusing on this sort of elementary issue of the distinction between mind and matter. I don't get it.
One seems to require the other. That's the whole point. In other words, if you're taking a completely idealistic point of view, which is the opposite of materialism, then you're assuming that the world doesn't exist outside the mind.
No. I'm not giving them an idealist account. There are different ways of divvying up the reality here. No, I believe that the mind is distinct from the body and can do things that the body cannot do, but the physical reality is out there nonetheless. But we do not experience it directly. Even my own body, totally physical as it is, my experience of it is mental. As I said in my opening remark, I kind of like the metaphor of talking about human beings as metaphysical amphibians. Clearly, we are both mental and physical. We're looking for the relationship. The results of my investigations and my own experiences suggest that the mind can operate independently. It has causal power. Okay, I'm not absolutely certain about life after death, even though after spending a night in a haunted house, I was physically attacked by a ghost. I'm still somewhat skeptical for various reasons which I could go into.
Let's just stop for a second because you intrigued me there, and I don't want to let you pass this by. You think you were attacked by a ghost, but you don't necessarily believe in life after death. Could you tell us about the experience?
Oh, sure. I'd be happy to. I had a student, married woman, who took a course with me. One of my brightest students, by the way. She was an anthropology major. Who told me about the fact that she had a ghost in her house and that roughly about 9 different people saw this entity. And it turned out to be something that... particularly liked to show up in the bathroom while the woman and the girl, the young girls, were taking showers and stuff. So the husband had experiences. Neighbors, a couple of neighbors had come in. And so I said, well, sounds interesting. Would you... mind if I spent a night in your house? And so they agreed. And I spent a night in New Jersey. I was teaching in New Jersey at that time. So I stationed myself on a couch facing a part of the living room where the ghost, the apparition, was said to have to appear. Not the only place, but where it tended to appear. So that's where I mounted myself. I had a book in my hands. I wasn't even going to sleep. I was just going to lie in the bed and drift off later on. But it was 2:00 in the morning, okay? And I'm reading a book and looking around, just alert. suddenly I hear a gong, okay, a sound. But I look up and I notice that there is a little drum with a stick hanging on the wall in the room that I'm sitting. So I get up and I pull the stick out and I strike it. I strike the drum. It's the exact same sound I just heard. Now, I know I heard that sound, and I also know that I didn't make it. So I said to myself, how interesting. So after I struck it a second time, the woman upstairs who was sleeping upstairs came down and said, what are you hitting on the drum at 2 o'clock in the morning for? I said, well, the second time that you heard it, I made the sounds. But then I explained that I just heard it, and there was no one in the room. She said, oh, well, he does stuff like that, the ghost, you see that. And she just went right back upstairs and wasn't even impressed by that. So I thought to myself, wow, a triumph. I got a little bit of the ghost or whatever it is in here that's causing this has done something that I can't explain. Something's going on. So I sat back and I thought, okay, very cool. And I was, you know, ready to accept that as the great achievement of the night. Well, in about 10 minutes after that event, I looked up into the corner of the room and I noticed a diaphanous human-like form hovering there. And when I looked at it, it moved straight at me and engulfed me, wrapped itself around me.
That's a cliffhanger. Let's talk about that in our next segment. Michael Grosso telling us about his encounter with a ghost or something. More to come with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens, and we're proud to promote amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Visit GCNlife.com for products like Lumines. The Lumines anti-aging skincare line restores youthful vitality and radiance to your skin, reducing the appearances of fine lines and wrinkles with stem cell technology. There's also Instantly Ageless, which works within 2 minutes, reducing under-eye bags, fine lines, wrinkles, and pores. Jeunesse has products to help you with how you look and feel in a very short time. Nobel-nominated Dr. Vincent Giampapa has designed several products helping the body perform better. Jeunesse products have a 30-day money-back guarantee, and they're available up to a 25% preferred price discount. See all of the amazing Jeunesse products at GCNlife.com or call toll-free 1-844-443-6637. 1-844-443-6637.